Monday Night Live. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez, for the next couple of hours here only on InfoWars. Do me a huge favor right now. If you guys are tuning in anywhere on planet Earth, wherever that may be, please share the links. Get that out right now, immediately. And we actually have, I want to get right to it, get right into it. President Trump just gave a comment right now. He was interviewed. I think we have that clip lined up, that there is appears to be a massive investigation going into the assassin or assassins or the network around what happened to Charlie Kirk. Let's take a look at that real quick.
The problem is on the left. If you look at the problem is on the left. It's not on the right, like some people like to say on the right. The problem we have is on the left. And when you look at the agitators, you look at the scum that speaks so badly of our country, the American flag burnings all over the place, that's the left. That's not the right. We'll see. We'll be announcing. Okay. They're already under investigation. You know, they're already under major investigation. A lot of the people that you would traditionally say are on the left.
They're already under investigation.
Already under investigation.
Have you asked to start revoking the visas of those who have celebrated Charlie Kirk's death?
What?
Have you asked to start revoking the visas of the foreigners who have celebrated Charlie Kirk's death?
No, we haven't. We haven't. But we are looking at names. We don't like that. That's not right. We wouldn't celebrate if something happened on their side, and we don't. These are sick people. These are really deranged people.
Any progress on the Fed chairman, sir?
Well, other than I don't like him.
No, but if you are...
he's incompetent. The Fed chairman...
Well, there we have some breaking news. President Trump right now delivering a little bit of an update, what it seems like, that there is an obvious investigation, and there seems to be more than one individual in what President Trump describes as what you would consider to be leftist. And we know everything that we've been told so far, a lot of speculation as to just exactly who was behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. A lot of conflicting statements that have come out from local law enforcement, federal law enforcement. Obviously, the big Israel question, or is this really Antifa? Is this really some LGBTQ psychopath? Or who was really behind that individual? Well, it looks like the commander in chief has given what sounds like he's been briefed on up until this point. And that recently just went out right now from President Trump. But also right now, simultaneously, we have the massive, absolutely massive, huge. This is in D.C., the vigil for Charlie Kirk at the Kennedy Center, where it looks like the overflow outside was tens of thousands of people. I'm pretty sure it's going to be max capacity. And right now they have some worship going on. I believe that's Sean Foyt on the stage with two other worship leaders with the violin and the cello. And so that looks like they may have some speakers, and we'll keep you guys up to date with that while we are live here on Sunday Night Live with other headlines. But I was thinking about today, and which is interesting because I wasn't supposed to be here today on this Sunday Night Live. I was actually going to start, you know, I told Alex I could, you know, help out when I can because I do my full-time thing. And I was actually saying, you know, I could help out, you know, maybe the first Sunday a month. And it didn't work out last week, and it turned out to be this Sunday. And we all know what's happened to Charlie Kirk. And so I was really thinking about what I wanted to talk about here tonight. And I've, you know, the headlines are important, and we're going to get to that. But my first time back on InfoWars, since this happened to Charlie, we're going to preach the word. That's what we're going to do. We're going to preach the word. We're going to preach the Bible. And so get ready for that. When we come back, go grab a Bible. We're going to go hard.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of mental drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles he would advance.
Watching Sunday Night Live. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez. We've got a lot of updates. You've got tributes all over the country. You've got vigils all over the country, all over the world. Excuse me, all over the world. And it's looking like we've got the vigil in D.C. that looking like someone's coming up to the podium. If you guys want to get that audio, want to maybe hear some of this. Let's tune in real quick.
Our brother and our friend, Charlie Kirk. Would you all pray with me now as we begin this memorial vigil? Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight with heavy hearts, mourning the loss of our dear friend and brother, Charlie Kirk. But we also rejoice in knowing that he is with you and has heard those sweet words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we thank you for his life, his bold faith, the witness he bore for you in all that he did. We're grateful for the ways that he pointed others to Christ and lived with courage and conviction to fight for truth. Father, we lift up his wife, Erica, his children, his family and friends. Would you surround them with your comfort and peace? Would you hold them close in this time of grief and give them strength that only you can provide? Your word reminds us in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Be that refuge and strength for them now, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all those who have come out tonight to honor him. Many who have traveled far, especially our special guests who took from their busy schedules to honor Charlie. Lord, may everyone here tonight be lifted up and encouraged by this gathering. We pray that this memorial will run smoothly, become a real source of comfort to those here in person and watching online. And most of all, may it honor Charlie's memory, bring hope to his family and friends, and may his life and testimony stir us to live with the same kind of bold faith, courage to speak truth, and commitment to what's right, just like he did. Lord, we know that he would want one message to come from this event, and that would be that those who do not know you as a personal savior would draw to him and call on him now. He wants to bring those to him, Lord. We know that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was Charlie's hope that he carried every day. The good news that no matter what our past, forgiveness and eternal life are offered freely through Christ. Lord, we know that Charlie knew that this life is precious and often shorter than we expect. And that's why he lived with urgency, to point others toward what mattered most, a real and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As Charlie himself said, give your life to Jesus and he will rescue you. As he reminded us, our hope is not talking about politics or success or even the good that we can do. It's only found in Jesus Christ. And that hope is available to all tonight. Charlie once said recently, Jesus defeated death so that we can live. So tonight, as we honor Charlie's memory, may we also take heart to the message of his life. Let's choose to walk with that same courage, to love people deeply, to stand boldly for truth, and most importantly, Lord, would we anchor our lives on you. And it's your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please rise. And so we'll join the retired...
We'll come back in and out of the memorial because I really wanted to hit the scriptures with you guys here tonight on InfoWars, because in the middle of a national global tragedy, it's always going to be important. It's always going to be important to stick with the headlines, stick with the news, stay updated. It's the InfoWar never ends. But the most important information, the most important intel and downloads are those from the Holy Spirit, are those from God himself, the Holy Word of the Bible. And people that are broken, people that are shattered, people that are confused all over the world, people that tune into InfoWars, they tune into the Sunday Night Live, they tune into the Alex Jones Show on a Sunday. That's where the light shines. And just like the prayer went right now, that's exactly what Charlie would want be happening right now, is the gospel, the word of God going out all over the globe. And we see that happening. We see that happening. I'm pretty sure the crew can find this, but Alex just sent this to me, where we've got headlines all over the world, musicians, NASCAR drivers. This is on InfoWars.com. You can pull it up on the website. Musicians, NASCAR drivers, and NFL teams pay tribute to Charlie Kirk, defying liberal hate mongering. This one's for Charlie. You're seeing people in Hollywood that are just kind of coming out of nowhere, people being attacked like Chris Pratt. You're seeing, like I said, the NFL players that are coming out and paying tribute to Charlie Kirk. You're seeing people that may have never even come out and had the thought about this. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I'm having family members that I have not talked to in a very long time. And I'm pretty sure you guys have family like this as well. It's not that you hate them or you don't love them. It's that because you're a born-again Christian, you don't have woke beliefs and you don't have a degenerate belief system. Therefore, people cut you off. And that's happened to a lot of us, especially if you're a Trump supporter or you're an info warrior, you're a fan of Alex Jones or the show. I have been this past week has been rough. You know, I've worked with Charlie, close with Charlie. And, in the past, we've all obviously had our differences, on several issues, but still at the end of the day, that doesn't mean you want somebody to die. And then after what happened this week, just like all of you, it's been horrific. It's been very, 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 very crushing, but at the same time, very uplifting and encouraging because of the fruit that is coming out of this. And the fruit is the gospel. It's Jesus's name being proclaimed. It's God's word echoing across the globe. And that's the most important thing that could be happening right now. And I find joy. I take joy and peace and comfort in that alone. And I pray that many of you out there that have been hurting or confused, if your kids or your family members, whoever it may be, everyone's affected, from young to middle-aged to older people here in the United States of America that love Charlie and always will, finding themselves shattered in a very, very different type of a moment with this kind of an assassination for the whole world to see. And so with that said, in times like this, when the world is on the verge of a civil war, especially the United States of America, because this transcends our borders. Okay. What happened to Charlie in Utah, and that's why you're seeing it, it has a global impact, because you have this satanic death cult that doesn't want to agree to disagree. You have a satanic death cult that doesn't want to debate. They don't want to have a conversation. These are not people that view you as a political opponent that they want to intellectually defeat with their ideas. That's not who this is. That's not who they are. When we say the globalist, satanic, death cult, and this comes through all different cultures, races, and society, we're talking about, like the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness. These entities that dwell in the heavenly places, the demonic. They have ranks. They're strategic. They're organized throughout the universe. And they move that way. And they've been watching humanity for thousands of years. They've been studying our behavior. They know how to play on our behavior. They know which buttons to push in order to make human beings go in the direction they want them to. It's called temptation. And I think there are millions of people in America, and I'm not going to play down your anger, your frustration, your hurt. I've been feeling it all week, and I get it, and I understand. But this implication and this aftermath that we're experiencing because of what happened to Charlie Kirk is fully understandable. Your brokenness, your hurt, your rage, your anger. People out here, I mean, I've been getting, my phone has not stopped blowing up since it happened. But at the same time, because there are the real demonic puppet masters, moving forward definitely has to be in God's wisdom. Moving forward definitely has to be very, very prayerfully, strategically walked out as we proceed. And by the way, what we're already seeing, and I know Harrison touched on this during the Alex Jones show just a couple hours ago, I'm in full support. I am 100% in full support of these people that are out here that I can't even say dancing on the grave of Charlie Kirk. I can't even say that because he hasn't even had his funeral. He hasn't even been buried yet. They're dancing on his body. That's what they're doing. These people out here that are creating cartoon images of Charlie getting shot in the neck and bleeding out and selling them on t-shirts. These people that are celebrating all over social media on TikTok, Blue Sky, all of these people that are celebrating and they are like the Ewoks at the end of the Return of the Jedi. But what are they celebrating? They're celebrating the assassination and the open murder of an innocent father, husband, son, loved one. And it's sick. It's absolutely sick. It's demented. It's demonic. It's satanic. And by the way, the world out here that may never even considered believing in God, maybe never even considered whether Jesus was real or not. And maybe they believe that all of those Bible stories about the demoniacs and demonic activity and Satan, Lucifer, and Jesus good and evil. I will tell you right now, what the enemy meant for evil, God will end up carrying out for good. And that's happening right now with you guys. It truly is. All of these evil people that are celebrating the assassination and the murder and bloodbath of Charlie Kirk, you're all disgusting and you need to repent. But you are opening up the eyes of millions of people. Like I said, I've been receiving text messages from people I haven't heard from in years that are on the complete opposite side of everything that you and I believe. And one of them in my family said, I got a text message, a friend of 5 years. This is what they told me. I got a text message of a friend of 5 years. And they said, we can't be friends anymore. They said, we can't be friends anymore because I don't agree with celebrating what happened to Charlie. And this family member said, I told my friend that could literally be me, Drew, my family member, that literally could be him. And they said this family member just called them a white supremacist. Excuse me, the friend called my family member a white supremacist and said we can no longer be friends anymore. Because not only do you not agree celebrating what happened to Charlie, not only do you not agree that he got what he deserved, but you have someone in your family that's like that. And you're going to side with that and not us. My family member was told, well, we can't be friends anymore. Cut him off. And this is a family member I haven't heard from in years. And they asked me, they said, Drew, I just don't know why. It's sick. And my response is, what I'm saying tonight is America is seeing evil manifest. America is watching evil fully manifest. And it may scare people, as it should, as it should. But there is someone on the other side of that spectrum. There is someone on the other side of that spectrum. And this is what people are coming to conclude, is that clearly there's something demonic. Clearly there's something, there's entities that exist, and it is just not even trying to hide itself with what happened to Charlie. Full-blown demonic manifestations. And it's freaking people out. It's making them sick to their stomach. If you're an InfoWar, you know we've been fighting this for a while. If you're a born-again Christian, you've been at this spiritual war for a while. This is not news to you. But a lot of your family members, a lot of maybe your coworkers, a lot of people out there, it is to them. And they are, and I'm telling you, that's been my experience this past week. Is people that are not only horrified what happened, they're not only horrified by what happened to Charlie because of the video and the images and the confusion coming from the Utah governor and the federal law enforcement, local law enforcement, and all of the questions and the confusion that are around, well, who really was behind this? Not only that, but the celebration of this. The celebration of this is it's causing people to conclude that if there is something this evil manifesting, not only do we have something wrong in our culture, not only do we have something wrong in our country, that there must be an opposite side of this. And this is what martyrdom does. This is what I want to talk about tonight. We're going to get into the Bible. America needs more of this. And I think Americans are seeing this, and they're sensing it. They can feel it. It's tangible. They know it's there. Now, they're not only seeing this, but they're experiencing it. And by the way, that is a good sign. Because that means you haven't been totally given over to a reprobate mind. The Bible talks about this. There is a point of no return. And all of these people out here that you are watching celebrate this and dance and celebrate on the body of Charlie Kirk, they've been given over to depraved, reprobate minds. That is Romans chapter 1. Clear, cut, dry, out in the open. When God gives them over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, they are filled with all kinds of wickedness, unrighteousness, evil, malice, malicious behavior. They become inventors of evil, murder, and the list goes on. And they love it. The Bible even says that not only are these people doing this or they're practicing this, but they also acknowledge and they approve of those that do them. And so for anybody out there that might be having their first dose, real sobering dose of evil, I'm here to tell you, as a born-again Christian, I am simply a messenger. I am simply the in-between. There is another side to this. There is. His name is Jesus. He is God. He was born 2,000 years ago, and he lived the perfect life. And he fulfilled the law of God, which is perfect because we can't do it. And he laid down his life. He sacrificed his life, shed his blood, body broken, his body, crucified on the cross, betrayed by his own, and laid down his life for the forgiveness, the eternal, perpetual forgiveness of our sins, for the salvation of our soul. And he was buried and he rose from the dead the third day and ascended to the Father. He is the Messiah. Jesus is King. Christ is King. He is God in human flesh. He is the opposite side of this. And we may never have answers as to why, and how could this happen to someone like Charlie. Listen, I knew Charlie personally. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not saying this to, you know, be funny. I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. So I hope people don't take this the wrong way. Charlie is a martyr. He is a martyr. He is a Christian modern American modern day Christian martyr. He went down for his faith in Christ. That's why they took him out, whoever it was. But I will tell you this, and I'm not trying to take away from the one of the heroes of the faith now. Charlie's there. He's there. Not trying to take away from that, but, and people who knew Charlie behind the scenes may agree with me, but my experience and knowing him and working with him and talking with him behind the scenes and going over stories, etc. He was just always dorky. He's just dorky, socially awkward. Charlie, you know? And like I said, that's not to take away from what he's done now. But I say that to say is when I saw that footage, that's who I saw getting shot in the neck. See the hero, but I also see the father. I also see the husband, the activist, the Christian. There was a huge part of Charlie, just for me personally, I'm speaking for myself, that he was just the dorky, socially awkward Charlie. And it was just, I don't know, it was funny. But watching that footage, that's who I saw in the chair. And it just angered me. It angered me. I cannot explain to you, because watching that footage, that's who I am seeing getting shot in the neck. And it's, I don't have words for it. I don't. Because someone like that, obviously we all know this by now, does not deserve that at all. But Charlie, and again, this is not to disrespect Charlie. I mean, Charlie was considered more moderate than a lot of us out here. What does that mean for us? That may be actually more right wing, just because you have biblical beliefs. Alt-right, far right, radical right, woke right. Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's here. They went after Charlie like this? What does that mean for you and me? There's more persecution coming. Doesn't mean we don't defend ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't prepare. I will always be for self-defense. But I've been saying this for years. I think America needs to prepare for some levels of persecution that America's never seen before. And I think it's going to be a level of persecution that is going to involve a lot of futuristic technological advancements that we're already seeing deployed in various other countries. We're already seeing deployed here in America. I think it's a whole other animal. But I think this is the beginning of something we've already been experiencing and boiling up. But it's going to get worse. It is. But we're going to talk about persecution. We're going to talk about that biblically. So don't go anywhere, guys. We're going to get into the Word when we come back. Go grab a Bible.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Here's the deal. We are winning in court. We're defeating the Democrats. We're defeating their law firms. All this powerful stuff's happening. I can tell you they are under criminal investigation by the DOJ. And the DOJ is not just looking at this to play games, okay? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to be gone for a few days here. I'll just leave it at that. So there's a lot going on, but we are literally maxed out in the bills and what's going on, because 80% of the funding goes into legal, because we are suing them and depositions and just constant warfare and filings and just, I mean, we are winning. I mean, I'm in a battle, but I'm running out of ammo. Go to theallishowstore.com and get 25% off on all the apparel, the widest selection of t-shirts, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, ball caps, you name it, the very best supplements that will change your life. 50% off, limited time. It's only going to go for 4 or 5 days more maximum. of the ultramethylene blue, the very best. You've heard about methylene blue. Well, this is the best. We have the very best Shilajit, the very best IRC models, the very best cardiovascular detox, spike protein detox. Even if you didn't take the shots, everybody needs a detox at least once a year. I have so many friends and family that are chronically sick and stuff. Even though they didn't take the shots, they got it shedded on them, and they take the other two big blood cleaner things that were the highest certified put out by scientists. We just got with formulators and combined both formulas together, so it's like a horse pill. This is hands down the best. And just for general cardiovascular health, you need it. Ultimate Life Force. You can get it for 50% off. It's all there. Limited time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Also, free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. If you spend over $75 in the store, you get $10 off at checkout immediately. Got that? So you spend $75.01. Suddenly your bill is $65. Got it? Just another giant discount off of everything. But you really want to get the ultramethylene blue. You want to get the bovine colostrum. Ours is 2,000 milligram per scoop. It is incredible. Don't know about bovine colostrum. It is the superfood nutrient. Hottest thing for a decade now. Ultra hot. The hottest thing. We have the best. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But this is only running, they're telling me, until next Monday, maybe Tuesday, because the bovine colostrum is selling out. The capsules for methylene blue is selling out. The Shilajit gummies are selling out. The IRC Moss capsules are selling out. And so a lot of these won't be available just in the next few days. So take advantage of it now. But I'm telling you, you think our information is powerful? You want to get the ultramethylene blue. Consult your physician before you take it. It's powerful. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen what's happened. This is hands down the most incredible thing I've ever taken. I took other methylene blue before. I didn't really feel it because it wasn't medical grade. This does it. This is it. Get yours now, TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Now, back to our program.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
Like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
InfoWarriors, we are back. You are back. You are now watching Sunday Night Live. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez. And we will be with you guys for the next hour and a half here for Sunday Night Live. As we continue our conversation, we will go through some headlines throughout our time here in Sunday Night Live, but we really do want to go through the word tonight. We really do. America really needs to come back to this for sure. And so if you have a Bible, I want to invite you. Maybe you're opening it for the very first time. Maybe you're opening it for the first time in a long time. Or maybe you are walking with the Lord every single day and you're ready. But I would like to invite you guys, if you do have a Bible or a Bible app, you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start right there. You have the Apostle Paul here, just a little bit of context, speaking to his protege, Timothy. And this is the Apostle Paul. He's already in prison. He's basically on death row. When you take a look at 2 Timothy, you can view it as literally a man's last words before he knows his imminent death is coming, is nigh. And he was persecuted, imprisoned, and obviously we know according to history, church history, that he was executed. Martyr. Just like Charlie. For his faith. And so when you take a look at 2 Timothy, you have the Apostle Paul speaking to his protege. He's a young pastor that was tapped by the Apostle Paul to not only manage one church, but just kind of like a group in an area, in a region of several. He was tasked to raise up and disciple a good, faithful group of men that would be loyal to the gospel and loyal to sound doctrine. That's what you see throughout 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus as well. They're traditionally called the pastoral epistles for that reason. And so if you really want to know where a pastor should really be, there's a hint. Take a look at those. When you look at 2 Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul knowing that death is imminent. And sometimes, like, you can think about it in a way where what would be on my mind if I knew I was going to die? What would be the last things I would be thinking about? You'd assume they'd be pretty important, especially if you lived a full life like the Apostle Paul. A pretty eventful life. Being a Jewish terrorist, that's what he was. Before he got saved, he was hunting Christians. Then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ that changed his life entirely, and he became born again and became an apostle. He viewed himself as the chief of sinners, the least of the apostles, because of that reason, and penned the majority of the New Testament. But when you find yourself here in 2 Timothy, you see the apostle seasoned, coming close to the end of his life, knowing that his life is going to most likely end in persecution. He's not blaming God. He's not questioning God. He knows he's in God's will, and he knows that the journey ahead of him is the journey that his Lord and Savior took before him, the journey of martyrdom, the journey of persecution, to the point of physically losing your life. And so when you get to this point in the scripture, when it comes to the Pauline epistles, they're called theologically in the New Testament. When you get to these Pauline letters, epistles, and the pastoral epistles and letters to Timothy and 2 Timothy, he's at the end and he knows it. I mean, you can kind of put yourself in that position if you were in that position and you know that you're pretty much on death row. You pretty much know that you're going to die in the next few days. You would have some pretty sobering thoughts. You would think whatever advice you had, whatever thoughts you had about life, about God, family, friendship, and in this case, ministry in the world, in the church, you would think that they would be probably the most refined thoughts you may have ever had, especially for the Apostle Paul. And so you find yourself here in that context. You see 2 Timothy chapter 3, the apostle decides to highlight the last days to this young protege pastor, Timothy. And he starts by stating, but understand this. This is something you have to know. Understand this, InfoWar. Download this. Know this. Fundamentally grasp this. Moving forward, let this be the context of your Christian life. Let this be the filter of your Christian life. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Now, what are the last days? This was written about 2,000 years ago. Are the last days now? Are the last days somewhere in the future? What are the last days? The last days, I like to debate biblically. I would biblically make the case that the last days started maybe around at the inception of the church, because that was a prophetic event. And maybe you can argue maybe when the Holy Spirit is poured upon the Gentiles as well, because that was a massive problem in the book of Acts, but that was prophesied as well. I would say maybe around there, because then after that, obviously, you know, the second coming of Jesus is going to have to happen after that event, but no man knows the day or the hour. Still, last days, What I'm saying is, started about 2,000 years ago. I mean, if you want to just start at the advent, the first advent of Jesus Christ and the Messiah, and then he did what he did, made the sacrifice, gave his life, and then resurrected, now you're seeing yourself in the last days. And that was 2,000 years ago. Where are we now? How much closer to the end, how much closer to the return of Jesus Christ are we now than we were when this was written 2,000 years ago, about 2,000 years ago? The Apostle Paul was talking like this. And he was telling Timothy this. Timothy wasn't going to live to be 2,000 years old. Why would he be telling his young protege, Timothy, this is what you need to be on the lookout for? You have to understand this as a pastor in the last days. You have to understand this as a Christian in the last days. Why would he be saying this to a young pastor in his lifetime, knowing he's not going to live to be 2,000 years old or 3,000? You want to know why? Because no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows when Christ is going to return. The apostles didn't know. The disciples didn't know. They were very curious, but nobody knows. They believed it could have happened in their lifetime, but also they also believed it could have happened thousands of years ago, maybe now in 2025 or maybe another 500 years from now. But it's interesting, regardless the timeline, Christian, but understand this. You need to know this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Trial, tribulation, turmoil, devastation. We all just experienced this past week. Should not come as a surprise to anybody. It's hard to say. It's hard to accept. But it's true. And then he goes on to say, for people will be lovers of self. This will be the indications that you're in these last days. These will be, you could say, birthmarks of what's going on in the culture, that you find yourselves. These are the symptoms that you are living in these last days that the Apostle Paul prophetically saw in the future as we get closer, and their behaviors, not only individually, but collectively as a society and as a civilization. This transcends language. This transcends race. This transcends geographical location. These behaviors, it's called sin, can be observed in all human beings. And he says, for people will be lovers of self, the narcissist, the self-absorbed one that cannot think about anything other than themselves. The lover of self is the total violation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods but me. The lover of self worships thyself. Lovers of money, that's a lust. Doesn't mean money's wrong. Doesn't mean having wealth is wrong. Money's a tool. God blesses people with wealth. But you cannot serve God and mammon. Who do you worship? Who are you a slave to? Is your love and your lust, is the entire purpose of your life for monetary gain? And you see no other purpose other than generating income. That dictates and drives every single decision you make. To the point where, and they're kind of go hand in hand, a lover of self and a lover of money doesn't care about anybody else other themselves and dollar signs, status, and monetary value. At the expense of people you may love, at the expense of people that may trust you, at the expense of your family, at the expense of whatever it may be, you love yourself and money more than God himself and anybody else that can come your path. Even your own kids. Even your own wife. Even your own family. Another indication is that they will be proud, arrogant. I don't need to explain what that means. Abusive. It's harsh. Disobedient to their parents. There's a total annihilation of the family. What do you think this whole anti-family agenda is? It's to play on the children, to get them to a place where they hate their mom, they hate their dad. It's lawlessness. It's antichrist. It's the spirit of the antichrist. Get the children to rebel. It's the opposite of what the Bible says. And mom and dad, in a righteous, godly context, are to raise up children in the ways of God. It's good for them. So when they're older, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, when they're older, they won't depart from it. They'll have something to fall on when they get into trouble. But this agenda to separate the children from the parents, to separate the children, remove the father from the home, remove the mother from the home, get a father more concerned about himself and money and gain and business, and the same for the mother. Have her obsessed with her career. It's all about her and nobody else. Well, that's all to get the children to hate their parents too. So the kids are no longer obedient. It's all about respect, love. If you don't respect your parents, you don't trust them, you're not going to obey them. And by the way, Jesus said, if you obey me, if you love me, you will obey me. There's a connection between obedience and love, according to Jesus. You're going to see this as a part of the culture. Disobedient to parents, a rebellion of the youth against their own family. Does this sound familiar to you? A rebellion of the youth against their own dad, against their own mother, to create such a divide within the family unit. Starting with the kids. How many of you parents out there are experiencing this tragically? Maybe you had good intentions and your son or your daughter is now being radicalized at a university. It started in high school, maybe middle school, and you thought it was a phase and it turned out it wasn't. You've seen this. It's an indication of something. It's a symptom of something. People will be ungrateful. They will be grateful for nothing. Always complaining all the time. It's never enough. You know how you're dealing with someone that's truly ungrateful? All they do is take and take and take and complain and take and complain, take and complain. It's a culture. It's a society that is not content. And as a result, they become ungrateful. And as a result, nothing will ever be enough. Nothing you ever give them, nothing you ever do for them. If you're in a marriage like this, your damn husband or your damn wife is ungrateful all the time, no matter what you do, and you feel useless and you feel like you're unheard. You do the very best you can. You do everything you can in your power to make this person feel happy and appreciated. And all you ask is that they enjoy it. But no, it's not enough. There's always something. There's always something wrong, isn't there? Because they're ungrateful. If that's you, shame on you. Especially when people are doing everything they can, everything in their power, just to make you happy. Why are you like this? Because you're ungrateful. That's why. Now, there's a difference between demanding top performance. There's a difference between having that kind of work ethic. Okay? What I'm saying is trampling on people that clearly love you and they're doing everything they can to make you happy, but it's never enough. I'm talking like in families and relationships and marriages. And then people wonder why there's such a animosity and a hostility that grows between relationships. You know, all it takes is a thank you every now and then. Hey, thanks. Oh, no problem. At least you know I'm trying. Unholy. I don't think I need to explain that. Everything that's the opposite of what God approves or God has assigned. Unholy. That means to be sanctified, right? To be holy is to be sanctified, to be set apart. It's a removal of anything that's representative of God himself. Removing the Bible from schools, removing prayer from schools, removing God from government, removing the Bible's influence in government and politics, the science community. The list goes on. Everything around you. Look at the entertainment, the news, the mainstream media. No aspects of this are sanctified, set apart for the purposes of promoting godliness, righteousness, and biblical values any longer. Not holy. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're set apart for the purposes of the Savior. We've lost all of this. And there are consequences as a result. Look, it says in verse 3, heartless. These people are heartless. Look around you. Look what's happening with Charlie. These people dancing on his dead body. They're heartless. It's like Jesus said. What did Jesus say? That, you know, in these last days, the love of many will wax cold. It means they have become numb. They can't feel anymore. They have no sympathy. There's nothing. They can't even understand why people would be hurt, why people would be broken. Even if someone did believe, hey, maybe Charlie saw it coming, maybe Charlie deserved it. I don't believe that. But maybe even in that, you could find yourself understanding, but I could understand why people loved him and they're broken. No. These people don't have that, even that. Because they're filled with evil. They're reprobate. They've been given over to a debased mind. It's demonic. And they can't even see it. They're heartless, they're unpleasable, unappeasable, slanderous. Wow, that sounds like every single day. I don't think there's anybody on InfoWars that is a stranger to slander. I think slander is probably why we are where we are. I think slander is why Charlie ended up where he was. Meaning what? Charlie's a white supremacist. Alex Jones, a white supremacist. Drew Hernandez, that Latino guy that's brown, he's a white supremacist too. They're all neo-Nazis. They're all domestic terrorists. They're all threats to our democracy. What do you think that's for? What do you think the purpose of that is for? What do you think that slander is for? That's not free speech. That's obviously serious defamation, and there needs to be serious consequences moving forward because this can't go on any longer. Because people are getting killed, they're being murdered, they're being hunted as a result. The assassination of one's character is to assassinate one's life. Because the assassination of the character comes first. And then when they carry out the hit, the rest of the world that has been lied to about you will sit back, cross their arms and say, well, they were a terrorist. Terrorists get bullets to the head. So good riddance. And it's a lie. It's fake news and the mainstream media and all these absolute satanic demonic liars. Like I said, InfoWars is no stranger to this. But it's far more than lawfare and lawsuits. I'm not trying to sit here and play that down or minimize that. But it goes far beyond that. And we are seeing that. And I'm telling you, this administration better crack down. All eyes are on Trump right now. Because this cannot go on any longer. It just can't. I mean, people like James Comey posting 86-47 and getting away with it? You don't think that has anything to do with what happened to Charlie? It has everything to do with it. And if I go outside publicly and get assassinated because Drew's a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi, etc., or Alex, Harrison, you name it, anybody out here. It's the same thing. Well, James Comey could get away posting 86-47, you know, to the president of the United States. What the hell are we? This is a culture of slander. And the culture of slander is directly leading to the destruction and the assassination of innocent people. And the president of the United States, we need to see serious action as a result. And I know there are millions of people that feel this way. And I am praying. All I'm going to say is I am praying that we see a serious change. Got to go after the NGOs, the fake news, all these liars and these slanderers, all these people out here that are assassinating everybody's character. Like Rush used to say, the drive-by media. Got a whole different meaning now, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul says, without self-control, these people have no bounds. No self-control. It's the opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. One of the indications of the fruit of the Holy Spirit you see in Galatians 5 is what? Is self-control amongst others. This is the opposite. Why? Because it's void of God. It is 100% completely and entirely void of His Word, of His Holy Spirit. Not because God doesn't love humanity. God doesn't want a relationship with human beings, or not because God doesn't want to participate and lead us and guide us in love and truth and righteousness and God. He does. It's the culture that has rejected this. It's the culture that has cowered away from biblical values. It's the culture. It's American culture that has clearly gotten so far away from God. It's led us to this point. And you know what? Americans are seeing that now. And that's what martyrdom does. Just like Stephen in the book of Acts. Stephen was martyred. He was stoned to death. You want to know who was watching that at the time? Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He watched Stephen give his life for the gospel, preaching the word. Stephen was stoned. And before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, and he was right there, and he saw it and he watched it. And look where that led to. Look where that led to. That's what's happening with Charlie, church. Martyrdom always equals multiplication and amplification. Martyrdom always equals multiplication and amplification of the gospel of the word of God. And that's what's happening. We got a lot more. We're going to get to some headlines. Don't go anywhere, guys. Share all the links. Tag me on X and I'll repost them. We'll be right back.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West Awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, the West Awakens with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowshowstore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense Immune Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100, and it's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, just like being Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. You get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.
All righty, InfoWarriors, we are back. You are back. You are now watching Sunday Night Live only on InfoWars.com band.video. I am your guest host, Drew Hernandez. In the aftermath of everything that has happened to Charlie Kirk, we are getting into the word, verse by verse, here on InfoWars on Sunday Night Live here in the Bible. And but we also want to take a look at some headlines because they actually match up with what the Apostle Paul has said 2,000 years ago. I mean, look at this one right here. Deranged leftist tackled by mourners and arrested after vandalizing Charlie Kirk's memorial. This is footage out of Phoenix, Arizona. I believe the TPUSA HQ. I mean, we take a look at the Bible and we see people that are unholy, heartless, unpleasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and not loving good. This is a perfect example of that. And when I say these people are dancing on the dead body of Charlie Kirk, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not being hyperbolic. Look at this. In Phoenix, Arizona, looks outside the TPUSA HQ, and these brutal, without self-control, they're unholy, heartless, and proud, trampling on the memorial of Charlie Kirk. Even after all of this, now you could say this is a troll. You could say this is just some dumb kid. Is it really? This is the manifestation of evil. And I think the enemy would want you to just kind of render this away. Like this is just some leftist stupid person. This is just some leftist punk kid that wanted to go viral because he had the same t-shirt on as the alleged shooter. That allegedly, if that's really the guy, that took out Charlie Kirk. The same, I think it was branded or marketed as a disabled veterans t-shirt with the flag and the eagle. Somehow this kid got a hold of the t-shirt. I think it was being sold at Walmart. I'm not sure if they scrapped that. But now millions of people around the world are seeing just exactly the results this is happening. I think we have Tulsi Gabbard. Actually, I want to hear this audio, guys. It looks like Tulsi Gabbard is speaking right now at Charlie Kirk's vigil in D.C. Can we get that audio, guys? I want to hear what she's saying.
May God bless you all. May God bless this great nation. Aloha.
Okay, looks like she just finished up speaking. Like I said, we'll come back and forth there at the memorial and the vigil. We're just kind of Doing multiple things at once. That's what we do here at InfoWars. But as I said, back to the word. If you are just tuning in, we're going through 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we left off on verse 3, where the Apostle Paul tells his protege Timothy, as he's approaching death, that in these last days, part of the symptoms that you will see in human sinful behavior, not only individually but collectively, says here in verse 3, they will be heartless, unpleasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good. People that can't stand something that brings joy to an individual. The brutality of the sinful, evil, wicked human nature. There is no one good, no, not one. We are all capable of the most sinister, evil things that you could possibly imagine or think of. Every single one of us. And completely unchecked, if you do get to the point of no return and you are given over to a reprobate and depraved mind, you won't even realize just exactly how bad it is. But the brutality that you're seeing all over the world, the brutality that you're seeing in this moment of people making these cartoon characters of Charlie getting shot in the neck and his blood popping out of his neck, and they're putting it on t-shirts to sell it everywhere to make money, to monetize, not only glorify political violence, but monetize a murder. The brutality of this situation is truly, I think it's making people sick. Truly. There are millions of Americans, humans out here, that are watching that and they want to throw up. We got a lot more. Don't go anywhere. Share all the links. You are now watching Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Drew Hernandez. We will be going through some headlines tonight, as you saw in the last segment, and some updates with Charlie's DC prayer event going on right now. Still very tragic. The vigil's taking place all over the world, globally, right? But I also want to thank Alex for always letting me guest host whenever you guys need a fill-in. It's always an honor. It's always fun. But I also want to thank Alex for letting me just, you know, really go through the Bible tonight, word for word, line by line, because I know I need this, guys. I know I need this. I know I do. And I know many do out there as well. So, guys, please share these links. If you're watching on X, reshare this, tag me in it at Drew H Live or wherever it may be. Just copy the links, get them out, guys. And we appreciate you. So we are in 2 Timothy Chapter 3. I am using the ESV if you would like to follow along. So we left off here in verse 3 where the Apostle Paul says that in these last days, they will, human beings, you'll see this indication of this sinful, evil human behavior, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without control, brutal, like we talked about the last segment. Not loving good. People that they can't stand being around something that brings a smile to everyone else's face. They just kind of have to always be that type of individual that has to be, I mean, you know, you could say a downer. You can say crashing the party. That's just a term, right? People that just cannot seem to find any kind of joy or any kind of happiness or any kind of anything. Put a smile on their face. They hate that. You know people like this? Because if you take a look at the behavioral patterns here, according to the Apostle Paul, because they're lovers of self, because they are proud, because they are arrogant, because they are ungrateful, because they are unappeasable, they don't love good because they hate God. If it's not always going to be about them, then there's nothing about life that they can enjoy or be grateful about. They just hate everything and hate everybody. But at the end of the day, it's not because they simply hate you for who you are or they hate life for what it is, because they hate themselves or they're narcissists or they're self-absorbed. At the end of the day, and this may be you, do you want to know why you're like this? Do you want to know how we get like this? It's because you hate God. There is no one good. No, not one. Only one is truly perfect. Only one is truly good. And the Bible says that you are at enmity. You are at war with God. As a result, you're going to hate everything that resembles maybe anything that people may enjoy in life. But ultimately, because you're at war with God, you're at war with his creation, human beings, anything else made on planet Earth, in the universe, every aspect of life that is created by God himself, you hate. Not that you hate the creation or you hate the created things or the created humans. It's not that you hate your circumstance. It's not that you even hate yourself. You hate God. So you're stuck and you don't have true joy. You don't have true liberty. You don't have the ability to truly sit back, look up into the sky and just marvel. If that's all we had, that could be enough. Because you're at war with the one that created all of this. And until that war is settled, because you don't have peace with God, you are not going to have peace with self. That's where that internal struggle and that turmoil comes from for a lot of people. Why they hate everything. Can't enjoy a single thing. And if you know someone like this, it's not necessarily that they hate you. They hate God. Their issue is with him and they may not even know it yet. But that's indications of you're in those last days. Verse 4, he says they're treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. That goes directly back to they're proud, they're arrogant, self-centered. They believe they're superior, like the elites, like the elite class that transcends throughout all of humanity. That feel like, or maybe in some cases know that no one's ever going to hold them accountable. They're swollen with this conceit. So they're always all over the news, smiling. No one's ever going to do anything about me. No one's ever going to hold me accountable. All these pedophiles on the Epstein files. You're the peasant. They're the elite. You can complain all day long about us, but there's not a damn thing you can do. Does that sound familiar? Indication that you're in the last days. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They are driven by their fleshly desires. They have an itch, a sinful itch that comes first. That's their nature. That's an indication of their nature. They can't resist. They have to indulge. They indulge in everything that God says not to because that's who they are. Godless. They are lovers. They lust for pleasure rather than lovers of God himself. Well, because they hate him. They're at war with him. And if they're not content, if they're ungrateful, nothing's ever enough for them. They're unappeasable. It's because they don't have God. Godliness with content. Contentment is great gain. In all circumstances, the Apostle Paul taught this as well. Whether I got a lot, whether I got little, I'm content in Christ because I know he's with me and he's my fulfillment at all times. I could be super rich. That doesn't become my God. I'm still worshiping him and depending on him every day because I'm useless. Or if I become living in poverty and poor, I'm still living every day depending on God himself because either way, I'm useless. I'm nothing. Look at verse 5, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. That's deception, guys. People out here that claim to be Christians, they claim to be people of the faith, but they don't have any power. There's nothing truly behind it. It's all a facade. It's all a show. It's all an act. They love to put on the religious show. Look at them. They're definitely the Christian life model. But behind the scenes, there's no power whatsoever to help them or to indicate that there's any actually real Christian fruit coming out. They have an appearance of godliness. They look like something that resembles Christianity. They look and maybe even sound like something or someone that resembles the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe they sound pretty good at it too. But what's the fruit? Who really are these people? Because if it's denying its power, that means that you are proclaiming the kingdom of God. You are proclaiming the Savior. You are proclaiming the one who's freed you from sin. You are proclaiming God Almighty. But there's nothing in your life that indicates anything is under control. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Don't get it twisted. But there's got to be some kind of changes happening. It's called sanctification. You can't be running around saying, Christ is King, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus. But there's not a single thing in your life that we can point to and say, wow, that's who you used to be. And now this is who I am in Christ. He's totally helped me with that behavior. And that doesn't mean it happens overnight. It doesn't mean that in some cases it is. Some cases it's not. Some people deal with struggles. Some people deal with addictions. Some people deal with sins in a span of a couple months or a couple years or maybe even over a decade. But there's got to be something. Because that proves that the reality of your proclamation and the reality of your confession is a lie. Because if there's no power in that life, something's off and someone's lying. And it's not God. And look what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says, avoid such people. Get away from these people. And in the context of making sure that the protege Pastor Timothy under the Apostle Paul is selecting faithful men. That's what he says. Select these faithful men that will be faithful to sound doctrine. They'll be faithful to the gospel. They'll be faithful to properly exegete and teach the word of God. If they are outside of these bounds, avoid them. There's something wrong there. Bad company corrupts good morals. The Bible does speak about this as well. The righteous choose their friends wisely. Because if you end up picking evil friends, the evil will lead them down to the path of wickedness. Avoid such people. Interesting, isn't it? That's uncomfortable for some people. Cut them off. That makes people uncomfortable. When you take a look at the Bible, you come across some of these teachings and you're like, there's going to be people that God expects us to cut off, to no longer associate with. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't care. Doesn't mean you can't pray. And many of us that have lived this Christian life have been down this road several times where you love someone so much and you're doing everything you can. You're praying and you're always there, and there just comes a moment where you know the Lord is showing you, let me deal with them. It's time to walk away. And in the context of what we're talking about here, this is what he's telling them to walk away from, the Apostle Paul. These are the types of people you need to disassociate from. You need to get away from. And look what he says, verse 6. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women. They prey on the weak. Burdened with sins and led astray, that means that there's possible serious guilt, serious deception, serious lust. But these are weak people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Professing to be wise, they became fools in their minds. Imagine knowing a lot while at the same time not knowing the truth. That's something you got to be careful about in the info war, especially when you're dealing with the Bible or you're dealing with the things of God. Always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Like, wow, I know a lot, but do I know the truth? And what's the truth in the context here? It's doctrinal truth. It's the integrity of the gospel. not the perversion, because people love to pervert the Bible. They love to pervert the gospel. But those that are truly loyal and allegiant to the integrity of the scriptures and the integrity of the gospel. It doesn't mean that learning is bad. It doesn't mean that information download is bad. But if it's not true, you're in trouble. You're in trouble, especially when it has to do with theology. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul has a history in Judaism and former Pharisee, etc. And he was known, he was famous, right? And so when you take a look at these pastoral epistles, this is what they were dealing with in that day, the Judaizers and the Jews and the religious leaders. All this information and all of which Jesus condemned were the doctrines of men. They elevated the doctrines of men over his very word, over God himself. And that's happening to this day. It's called the Talmud. Satanic. It's demonic. These people seem to know a lot. These people seem to memorize a lot. They got a lot of information religiously. But they just can't come to the truth, the way. The truth, the life, Christ Jesus himself. A lot of these Pharisees could memorize the Old Testament books. I'm not exaggerating. Books of the Old Testament. Yet could not see Christ in any of it. That's a scary place to be. That's a very scary place to be spiritually. But the Apostle Paul says these people are manipulative. They prey on the weak. They prey on those that are stuck in their sins and their passions. They don't have any interest of preaching the truth to them so they can be freed from their lust and their indulgences. No, they want to keep them stuck in there so they can manipulate them. They don't have any true spirituality. They don't have any true gospel truth. They don't have any true biblical truth. These people just keep you in the same place and they manipulate you. So you go nowhere and you don't get anywhere near to God or to Christ. And again, avoid such people. Verse 7, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. There's a demonic aspect right there, because that's always a reference to when Moses was dealing with Pharaoh's magicians, when they were manifesting. Just as they opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. There's a comparison there. There's a demonic evil component to this opposition of truth that you're facing and you're dealing with. Why should I cut myself off from these types of people? Well, the Apostle Paul tells you, not only is there a serious sinful behavioral issue going on here, but there's a demonic component going on here as well. So these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. These are not sources of authority or trusted sources for authority regarding Christian faith or doctrine, regarding the faith. These are liars. These are manipulators. These are people that are going to lead you astray and keep you in your sinful passions and not offer any way out or any true biblical assistance. They're afraid to talk about sin. They'll play into your desires. It's evil. Verse 9, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. At the end of the day, what's done in darkness will be brought to light. It will be exposed. It won't get very far. Everyone will see. At some point, everyone will see who you really are. At some point, everybody's going to see who's real and who's fake. At some point, everybody's going to know who's a fraud and who truly is born again. Especially people that put themselves into spiritual positions of authority in terms of theology and doctrine and these spiritual leaders. Over time, time will always tell. I remember when I was a youth pastor before I got into full-time media. I know God brought me here for this reason. And now I know now more than ever. But when I was in full-time pastoral ministry, I would always tell. our ministers, youth group leaders, people around me are like, I just know there's something here. I know there's something. I'm like, it's okay. Just keep an eye. That'll show us. He'll show us. He'll expose who's who. And I cannot tell you guys how many times I have experienced this, not only in my life, but in ministry, where I'm just like, God, my discernment levels are going off. This ain't lining up here. I need you to show me, because I can't see it, obviously. And time after time after time after time, as time goes by, this verse rings true, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. If you're a fraud and you got an actual born again Christian on your tail, I will tell you, my friend, if they ask God, show me who this person really is, it's only a matter of time before the whole world knows you're a fraud. I promise you. With every fiber of my being, this is 100% a biblical truth. Fear God, my friend. Fear God. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, you, however, now he turns his attention to Timothy. That's how these people are behaving in the last days. This is where you need to be. You, however, have followed my teaching. You're my disciple, my conduct, because my teaching goes along with my lifestyle. I'm not a hypocrite. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, but that's what doctrine is for. It's to apply it to your life. That's literally what the word doctrine means in the Bible. It's teachings that are meant to be applied, not just to listen to. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. That's how personal the relationship was. I have taken you down the path to where I am going. This is the pinnacle. This is the center of the heart of who I am. My aim in life, which is my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. He loved him. There was a real love for discipleship. It wasn't just some old guy that was threatened by the young guy, because the young guy is up and coming. So he's a threat. No, that needs to go, especially out of the church. It needs to go, and it needs to go immediately. That's the opposite of discipleship. That's the opposite of what I see a very elderly, senior, seasoned Apostle Paul approaching this up and coming pastor, Timothy. He was there to pick him up, not put him down because, This young guy thinks he's this. This young guy thinks he's that. No. Good luck raising up the next generation that way. And he goes on to say, my persecutions, you've seen how I've been persecuted and sufferings, all of my trials that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. And I'm going to stop right there, because this next verse, this is where we're at. Especially with what happened after this week to Charlie. This next verse right here in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Rings truer now more than ever. It's always been true. Now people are paying attention to this. We're going to break this down when we come back. Do not go anywhere. Share all the links. Do it now. People need to hear this biblical truth. Love you.
Go to theolivestonestore.com and experience these products like Ultramethylene Blue. It will change your life. It will be so empowering for you. And then you'll be hooked and keep buying it so we can stay on the air and expand, which is my plan in the face of all these globalist attacks. So I'm announcing this on Tuesday, September 9th. We're only running this till next Tuesday. It is a giant, multifaceted sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best medical grade quality out there. The rave reviews are insane. Such good energy, such clarity, such focus, no letdown, 50% off. Same thing for the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the detox, super empowering system for your cardiovascular system. Ultimate Life Force. Everybody should be taking this. It's the best formula out there, made from the two top best-selling formulas. fused together. You need it. It is amazing. Just get it. Know you're supporting the broadcast so you can't lose, and then you'll be pleasantly invigorated, not surprised, I don't BS, when you get great benefits. But what you really feel quick and see the fastest is Joel's Methylene Blue. There's also another big sale going until next Tuesday. That's the Get Free $10 Ultimate Fundraiser Sale. When you spend $75 or more at checkout, $10 is taken off. So if you spend $75, when you check out, it's $65 on top of all the discounts. 25% off store-wide, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. What an adventure to wear it. The ball caps, the T-shirts, all of it. That's 25% off, and then $10 off at checkout on top of that. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates to keep this broadcast on the air, and I don't own it, so they shut down InfoWars. That's our sponsor with the Alex Jones Network and what comes after. So we need the funds. They're incredible products. The only way you fail is not taking action. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Long ago, far in the past, lived a man on the open vast. His sword at his side held tight with a fist. Through the rains and through the mist, he carried on only to survive. By the power of Methyl Drive, no man nor beast stood a chance through the battles he would advance. Methylated B12, CoQ10 and the PQQ gave him the power to fight again, to live long and true. Methylated B12, CoQ10 and the PQQ gave him the power to fight again, to live long and true.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
USA community during this heartbreaking time. Like so many of you, I'm still struggling to process the reality of Charlie's absence. It's hard to accept that someone so vibrant and so full of life is no longer with us. But in my heart, I know Charlie would not want us to throw in the towel. He'd tell us to pick up the mic, to keep pushing, and to carry his movement forward with unwavering resolve. I first met Charlie on August 5th, 2018 at Turning Point USA's Young Women Leadership Summit. I just left the Air Force and was working
Anna,
as
Representative
a human trafficking activist. Planning
Anna Paulina Luna speaking at the D.C. vigil for Charlie Kirk. Thousands of people there right now. And that statement she just said, Charlie would want us to pick up the mic. Pick up the mic and keep speaking, keep going. I love it. I love it. That's where we're at right now. And so if you're just tuning in, I'm your guest host, Drew Hernandez. This is Sunday Night Live. And in the aftermath of everything that has happened, just really, really felt moved to just do a straight Bible exposition tonight on InfoWars. Never really done that before, but seemed appropriate. I know I needed it. So if you're just tuning in, guys, on X, please reshare all of the links. You can tag me at Drew H Live. I'll repost it or tag Alex or just wherever you're watching. please share all the links, guys. We appreciate you. And if you'd like to follow along, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm using the ESV. And we now see the Apostle Paul now speaking to Timothy, and he's in verse 12, now stating, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'll say that again. Indeed, all who desire to live, not just simply preach, not just simply teach, live. Those who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. People will hate you, just like they hated Paul. It's like he told his protege Timothy. All of his persecutions, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, he endured all of them. And the Lord rescued him from all of them. And he's in another one right now about to lose his life. And this is a part of the Christian life. Because of the existence of evil, because of the hostility against Christ, because Satan is real, because you live in a spiritual war, because this is the reality of life, because of the manifestations, because this is not a game, it's not just some fluffy church service. No, the reality of church, the reality of your life, the reality of how you live, the reality of the faith, the reality of Christ being king, this is a spiritual, eternal reality that will get you killed. And that's what happened to Charlie. And that's an honor and that's a blessing, the highest honor. Probably the greatest example, at least for me, that I have ever witnessed. Because I don't know if you guys noticed, and I don't want to re-traumatize people, but the thing that really stuck out to me the most, watching Charlie's assassination, is he held to the mic to the very end. He held onto the mic to the very end. And God, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. The whole world to see. So it hurts and it's evil, but at the same time, you know, when Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you know, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Right? To be my witnesses. You'll become my witnesses. What does that mean? In the Greek, witnesses, that's a martyr. You will be empowered to go and die for me. Charlie. In my opinion, biblically, I feel safe saying this. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was tapped by Christ that day, that moment. And he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to become a martyr. So many things, so many moving components that just blow my mind biblically. It's horrible. It's evil. There needs to be accountability, but at the same time, in God's sovereignty, which we'll never truly understand why he does what he does. But also at the same time, I know that what I'm saying right now, Charlie understood. And if this was God's will, Charlie would walk into it. That's why he did what he did every day. So, I mean, this same truth was what the Apostle Paul knew. This same truth is what he was passing down to Timothy. Oh, you want to be a pastor? You want to be a minister? You want to get into this spiritual holy war? You want to get in this? This is the first thing you need to know. You want to be a Christian? You want to live a godly life? Even if you desire that, in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted. It's coming. So you must be ready. And by the way, the parable of the sower, persecution is one of the things that causes people to flee from Christ. They're not authentic converts. And when the persecution comes, they flee. And I'm not talking about you know, being rejected, a wedding cake by some gay couple. I'm not trying to play those things down. I'm not talking about being made fun of because you're Christian. That's all important. Okay. But I'm talking about what Charlie just did. I mean, I even have to question myself when I saw that. I'm like, whoa, am I ready? Am I truly ready? What are my intentions? Why am I here? Meaning, why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I really willing to go down that path? All I know is that what God has done through Charlie with what happened last week or this week, it's only just given me like an injection of boldness, of confidence in Christ, and just an acceleration to go exactly where we see the scripture going right here. Look at verse 13. While evil people and imposters, the fake and the evil, all these people I just described, they're evil and they're imposters. They're fake. You have fake people around you. They're not who you think they are. They're evil, therefore they're imposters. They smile in front of you and stab you in the back, and they lie in front of your face, and they gaslight you and try to make you think that you're the crazy one, when actually you're the one that knows you're aware of this spiritual war. They're imposters. They're hypocrites. They're actors. They're not real. They're get you killed. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. These people are not only simultaneously deceiving the world and those around them, they themselves are deceived. They think they're going to win just like all these people dancing on Charlie's dead body all over social media. They are deceiving and being deceived. Now look where the Apostle Paul goes again. But as for you, young man, young woman, old woman, whoever's listening, whatever, Christian, but you, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. That means Christian, healthy, faithful doctrine and gospel truth. And in the context of what he's telling Timothy, everything I've taught you, that's what Paul's saying. Everything I've taught you, everything I know I've taught you, I've given you my whole life. You know it all. But as for you, continue. After what happened to Charlie, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. This is not something that you have come to just discover and it's kind of like some side belief you have. No, you firmly, fundamentally believe this and understand this. Remain steadfast and do not let go. Hold the course and continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it from. We know the things Christ has taught us and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. In Timothy's personal life, he was brought up from his loved ones in biblical teaching, scriptural teachings. And now it's all starting to make sense. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How do we discover the gospel? How do we discover how to be reconciled back to God? How do we even know any of this? Where does this even come from? Well, he says it in verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. That's inspired. It's God inspired. It's God breathed. This is not something that has come from a man. Where does your confidence come from? Where does your teaching come from? Where does the wisdom for salvation come from? Where does this firm belief come from? It's not coming from some man that taught you this. It's not coming from some podcast you heard. And it's not even coming from me. It's coming from what's said right here in verse 16. All scripture is breathed. That's inspired. All scripture, Old, New Testament. All scripture is breathed out by God himself and profitable. This isn't monetary. This is for your Christian life and godliness and holiness. It is profitable for teaching. This is something you can apply to your life and teach others, for reproof, for correction. If there needs to be rebuke, someone needs to be corrected. Someone needs to be confronted. But no, we live in this fake and gay society where everyone is afraid to tell the truth because they either don't want to be canceled or they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings or be called a bigot. Those days are over. The Bible is good for teaching. It's good for reproof or rebuke or correction. People need to be told when they're wrong. People need to be corrected. I do. You do. Iron sharpens iron. We've all got blind spots. The biblical truth points us all in the right direction. Because if we're all fighting in unison, unified, if one of us are out of line, we need to be told by people that we actually love, that are biblically filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word, to tell us to our face and tell us the truth. Open rebuke is better than a concealed love. Don't let any of these people out here tell you, oh, you're just being mean. You're being disrespectful. I would rather someone tell me the God honest truth about what I'm doing wrong or what I'm saying or receiving correction than just continue living a lie. People who truly love you will always tell you the truth, no matter how much it hurts, especially in the context of the Bible or the scriptures. For correction and for training in righteousness, living the righteous precepts of God for holiness in our life, the Christian life. Does this mean we're perfect little people? No. But we're on the right path. For what purpose? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete. He's equipped, well built up, matured. And then he says, equipped for every good work. You need to know your Bible, dude. I cannot emphasize this anymore. You're a sitting duck out here. You have no discernment. You have no wisdom. You have no knowledge. And these legions of demons and the demonic that you are dealing with, that's who you're dealing with. They will run circles around you because they have advanced wisdom. They're ancient. They've studied humanity. They know who God is, and they know just exactly how to infiltrate your mind and your family and your heart and your children and your loved ones. They know just exactly how to get to you, and you won't even see it coming. Put on the armor of God, and including that is the sword of the Spirit, the Word. You know the Bible? Great. Get better. And I'm preaching to myself. You know the Bible? That's great. Get better. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Like Ephesians says in chapter 2, we've been saved and now we have these works that we've been saved for. And then we get to chapter 4. And again, remember, I said that the Apostle Paul, he knows that he's at the end. He knows he's about to die. He knows he's about to become a martyr. And he's talking to his protege. These are the last things he has to say as he approaches death, as he approaches the end. And this passage right here has been on my mind since I saw or was informed about what happened to Charlie. This has just been repeating over and over and over and over in my mind. And so I'm sharing it with all of you now. I'm nobody, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the context of all of that, I charge you. That's a command. I charge you. I'm at the end of my life, and this is what I'm telling you. These are your last orders. I charge you in the presence of God, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. I am saying this to you. with him as my witness, with him watching, that between you and me, this is what I am telling you. Before I depart to go be with them, I leave you with this. Woo! Sobering. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. There is an eternal reality going on here. The stakes are eternal. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Let this be what amplifies you. He will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Christ is king. He's the eternal judge. Before him, I am charging you with this. That's who. That's who I'm saying this in front of. What a pretty interesting statement to make. As God is my witness, multiple witnesses, right? 2 to 3 witnesses. You got them right there. You got two of the Trinity right there. Verse 2, what is this? What's the charge? Preach the word. That's preach, that's amplify, teach, proclaim the word. The scripture, the Bible, the gospel. What are you doing? Where are you working? What do you have going on in your life? Doesn't matter where you are. Where do we go from here? Preach the word. I don't know what that looks like for you. You're going to have to figure that out on your own. Ask God to show you. I know what it looks like for me, and that's why I had to do this tonight. Preach the word. In context, accurate, healthy doctrine, not twisted, not perverted. Preach the word. And Paul's final words to Timothy, preach the word. However, be ready. You got to be ready in season and out of season. When it's convenient, when it's not convenient, no matter what is happening, no matter what is going on, no matter how devastating or no matter how convenient things may feel, be ready in season and out of season. Be prepared, dude. You got to be prepared. Reprove. There it is again. Reprove. Rebuke. Don't leave that out. There's got to be correction. There's got to be rebuke. People got to be set a line again. Set straight. We've lost that in America. We truly have. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, we know patience only comes through the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever done ministry, you know you are always begging God for patience, because when you are dealing with people all the time, you're like, God, please help me. And it goes hand in hand with teaching. To have a patience with people. Some people may learn faster. Some people may pick it up quicker than others. Some may not. When it comes to discipleship, that's what he's talking about here. Have some patience with people while you go about your teaching, while you go about your doctrine. Or if you're just a mom hearing me, have patience with your kids. Or you're a dad, etc. There has to be complete patience. And teaching. They go hand in hand. You can't force teaching down somebody's throat. Because everybody learns at their own pace. Everybody may even learn differently. I know I learn differently, way differently. And maybe God is trying to teach you how to identify that in your disciple. Maybe you haven't even thought of that. Blind spots. And then verse 3, for the time, listen. Does this sound familiar? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. That's accurate Bible teaching, accurate proclamations, healthy doctrine being communicated to the masses. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. There's something about their flesh that they have to itch. There's a desire in them It's them and their own sinful desires. They have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll prop up their own people that are liars and manipulators, that are not promoters or proclaimers of the truth. They will only tell you what you want to hear, not what you need to hear, which is biblical truth. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Not biblical truth, everything but that. Just to take you off course. Wander off into myths. Anything but biblical truth, anything but the gospel. And here's that phrase again, verse 5. As for you, always be sober-minded, be clear thinking, self-controlled, endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Do what God has called you to do. Preach the gospel. But you're going to have to endure some suffering. So don't be blindsided when it happens. When something really bad happens, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Endure the suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Preach the gospel. Fulfill your ministry. Do what God has called you to do. That's all I've been hearing this week. This passage has been ringing in my mind. And I hope it blesses you. And look what the apostle ends with here. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. That's what happened to Charlie. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Hence, therefore, is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Charlie got his crown. And we're still here. And in the middle of all of this, we're enduring the suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Amplify, preach the gospel, communicate it, magnify it, fulfill your ministry. Only you know what that ministry is. And if you don't, ask God, he'll show you. He wants you to know. Love every single one of you guys. Hope you guys have a blessed night. See you next time.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I saw this a few weeks ago. We got it done. That young girl that is the return of the British queen that fought the Romans, Boudica. Look at this. The West awakens. Look at this badass shirt, ladies and gentlemen. It's got a red InfoWars over the heart on the left, and then it's got her on the back. I designed this shirt. I think it's amazing. The West awakens 2025. This is a badass shirt, and it literally funds people totally committed to freedom. Then we've got Virtue Signal, and it's the Cracker Barrel symbol right there that we updated there. So we got that. We've also got another, The West Awakens, with the hatchet and the butcher knife, ladies and gentlemen. Get them now at theyellowstonestore.com. But what you really want is the ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, all of it massively discounted, 25% off across the store, apparel, all of it. We've got buy one bottle already discounted, the Shilajit or the Atomic Defense of Beam Boost, and get another bottle half off. The point is, we got War Bonds. That's a nice little piece of art you get with my face on it. You get $110 for $100. It's mailed to you as a promo code on it for the site. But everybody that becomes a VIP, $30 a month, it's like being Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend each month right when you pay that. You cancel any time. You get a special deal, special offer, special sales. I need your support. Wars aren't cheap. So what do good salesmen do? They sell good products. You are insane if you don't get our methylene blue. You are crazy if you don't get our Ultimate Life Force Blood Detox. It's all there at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Take action now and get these new limited edition shirts like the F Around Find Out.
Now, back to our program.